Welcome to Booking the Territory, a pro wrestling podcast hosted by Mike Mills and Doc Turner. This podcast is all about what's going on in the world of professional wrestling. And now, here's your host, Mike Mills.
All right, thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Booking the Territory, pro wrestling podcast, where we interview current independent wrestling stars and some of your favorite wrestling stars from the past, along with covering the week that was in the world of professional wrestling. This week we have a blast from the past, so to say, and someone who has never, let me repeat, never done a podcast until this episode of Booking the Territory. And he is from the Monday Night Wars, the Rap is Crap Tour, and formerly of the WCW No Limit Soldiers. Yes, the No Limit Soldiers. I have for you this week and next week in a two-parter, Big Swole. Now, with all that being said, I bet you thought I was going to go into the sponsor read at this point, but nah, I'm not going to do that this week, so just hang tight with us. Don't worry, sponsors. If you're listening, I will get you covered throughout the show. But before we get into that discussion with Big Swole, I got a few things that we need to cover and discuss with you first. One of them is which we want to pay tribute to Doris Atkinson, the mother of the Von Erichs, which is, you know, like I said, you know, the world famous Von Erich family. And before I get to that, though, joined as usual this week, I have the worst podcaster in the business, and he is none other than your favorite idiot and mentally irregular fool, Mr. Doc Turner. And unfortunately, Hardbody Harper, the world famous and greatest manager in independent wrestling from Wildcat Sports and Entertainment, could not make it tonight. I'm going to get to that in a minute. My fellow 504 brother could not make it. So before we get into why Harper couldn't make it and everything that we had going on this week with the Von Erich family, Doc, I know you are a very miserable person these days, but I will ask you anyway, out of being polite, what is up?
One down, one to go.
What in the hell does that mean?
Well, I got a hamburger helper out of here. Once I get you out of the way, it'll be Doc Turner's Fun Time Wrestling Hour podcast. I'll be flying solo.
If you think our listener download level is bad now, if it was just you flying solo, it would be the drizzling diarrhea, you know what. I'm going to try to contain my language this week due to sponsor backlash last week. Yeah, it was bad. We got some backlash, but you and I talked about that off the record. And like I was saying, before we get into that, I know you're miserable about your Cowboys, and we're going to talk a little football, even though it's a wrestling podcast, only because it's football season, and Roger Goodell's the devil, and Greg Hardy is an idiot, beating on women and not really caring and making stupid comments throughout. Hardbody Harper couldn't make it, and all he told me was that he was predisposed tonight, and I couldn't help but think, on his Facebook page, I don't know, 3-4 days ago, during, 2 days ago, Sunday Night Football, he posted that he wanted to take Michelle Tafoya to McDonald's and partake in extracurricular activities, is what I assumed by that statement.
Maybe he's filming a special edition of 48 Hours with Michelle Tafoya.
I'm just going to leave it at that. So, hey, Harper, man, we missed you tonight, but I understand you're taking care of business. Hopefully you're not working the highways of Chef Mentor. If you're from the South in Louisiana, New Orleans, you'll know what I mean. Other than that, let's just say Chef Mentor is not a nice place.
Is there a nice place down there?
There's plenty of nice places, you idiot. I mean, why did he even sell that and address it? All right, first, no, serious talk, Doc. Let's pay tribute to the Von Erich mother and everything she experienced in life. I'm just going to give you my thoughts just real quick. I can't imagine what that woman dealt with throughout her life, losing her sons, seeing so many of them pass in such a tragic way. I can't even begin to imagine the strength that she had to hold it together and not really lose her mind throughout all of those tragedies with Kerry and David and just everything that happened. I told you a story about my dad dying of cancer, and my grandmother was in the room, and we watched him pass away in a horrible fashion. And I kept looking over at her to the left and thinking, man, this is not right. You know, a mother should never bury their child, and that's what I witnessed just once. And my dad was 60 at that point. So I can't imagine losing all those sons in their 20s and in such an early stage. So that's just my thoughts on it. Man, God bless you, Miss Atkinson. I can't even imagine what you dealt with in life and how strong you had to be to maintain, you know, your mental sanity for the most part. That's just rough. So, Doc, I'll throw it at you and let you share your thoughts as well.
Well, you know, I grew up in Dallas on world-class championship wrestling. So I was 9 years old watching the Von Erichs. And you heard it on other podcasts recently, whether it's Stone Cold Steve Austin or Ric Flair. You cannot overestimate and exaggerate how big the Von Erichs were here in Dallas in the early 80s. And so that, I mean, it was a huge event when one of those boys died. But if you think about it, yeah, she had 5 sons die while she was alive. 5. Now think about, for those of you who have kids, think about 1 kid.
Mm-hmm.
5. The first one wasn't David Von Erich. The first one was actually back in the 60s. They were living in some mobile home park while Fritz was wrestling up in upstate New York, and the youngest kid grabbed an exposed power wire, and it was electrocuted at like 7 years old. And then you had the, you know, obviously the David Von Erich and the 3 suicides. But can you imagine, first of all, you're the wife of a wrestler whose gimmick, by the way, was to be a Nazi sympathizer.
Right.
Then you have 6 boys, which is in and of itself just more work than I would want to entertain. And then she lost 5 of them. So what, I mean, you talk about a woman that lived and had so much pain over so many years. You know, it's no wonder that by the 90s, her and Fritz got a divorce. So, you know, just another chapter closes on the Dallas world class scene with her. Not as well known, obviously, as the in-ring talent, but certainly a pivotal, I would assume, behind the scenes character, if you will.
Yeah, I can't imagine, man. That's just rough. Yeah, so my heart goes out to her, you know, Kevin.
I mean, we get on here and we talk about and get hot and yell at each other about wrestling and football and all kinds of shit. Think about losing a kid and then multiply it by 5.
Yeah, right. And to remain, you know, mentally stable. We joke about the mentally irregular part, which you are. But in all seriousness, I can't imagine that. I cannot imagine how anyone could deal with that.
Shit, man, I stubbed my toe walking across the room and I want to go into a depression. I can't imagine what she lived through.
I agree. With that said, man, Kevin Von Erich family, we give our condolences. That's what that woman saw in life and what she dealt with. We can only imagine, and you know, hopefully she's at peace and yeah, I don't know what else to say. Just my heart goes out to him. All right, let's move on. You know, Doc, you and I, we kind of talked about this off the record, but you know, like I was saying in the opening, and I have Big Swole on, which this is his first ever podcast or interview about wrestling, and he will say that at the very beginning when I throw it over there in a minute. And Swole has really never talked about what happened with No Limit and how all that came about and what ended it and all that good stuff. And there's some interesting stories in there. I feel for Randy because he's had an injury within the last few years and it's causing him a lot of pain. But before I even get into all that and we throw it over to the interview, you know, we kind of talked off the record after I talked to Swole that night, Doc, and I just got to ask you, did you realize that he was not just a quote-unquote thug/bodyguard and all of the stuff I told you about his training and whatnot? Did you even realize any of that?
No, not at all. I was shocked when you told me he had had, you know, two things surprised me beyond belief. And one was that he had been in the AWA, and the other was that he'd been trained by Brad Reynolds, because that, I mean, that guy was one of the, he was an Olympic wrestler and was no joke. If you go back and you see, you know, who kind of, you talk about coaching trees, if you see who was trained by Brad, it's a pretty impressive list. So, I was completely surprised. And to be honest, I had to go back and kind of re-familiarize myself with some of that storyline, because that was starting to get into the period at WCW where I was watching, but I was over on Raw more times than not, just like a lot of folks.
Yeah. Well, you know, it caught my attention because it was a whole New Orleans thing, the whole connection.
504.
Oh, shut up. But Randy was real cool, man. I legitimately did not know the stuff that he shared, and he's going to talk about it in a minute on the interview that they were in the discussion. That's right. That's right.
Even I know that.
But, you know, like the stuff he did in Japan prior to ever coming to WCW, and I swear, man, I had no idea. You know, he knew Chris Benoit. He's going to talk about that. I can't remember if it's on part one or part two, but you'll have to stay tuned. There's some interesting stuff. It just the people that he crossed paths with and the places he had been even before ever coming to WCW, you would be shocked.
Well, is he going to talk about it? And I know it's going to be, you know, here in just a minute for you listeners, but does he talk about the fact that and this is talk about booking a territory where the smart guys at WCW thought, let's bring in a bunch of African Americans and Latino wrestlers and put them up in an angle against two vets like Henning and Windham, and expect them to be faces in a Southern style promotion.
Yeah, he talks about it. It was kind of interesting how they. I think he even says it, how they started off as, you know, baby faces and became heels rather quickly by the end. It's gonna be some good stuff. Before we get into that, I do have to give the shout outs to the Twitter followers who all sent some stuff to us and got a bunch of stuff, not really questions, but just statements. So I got to give the shout outs. So we got Jack Forbes from at Raise the Horn says in response to my, you know, tell us what you liked, hated about the card related to Hell in a Cell. He says Taker versus Lesnar, finish and storytelling, Cena versus Del Rio, nice swerve. He hated Kane versus Rollins, predictable and boring. I also got at Charles Durham 72, Mania card, easy to book, Rollins Lesnar, depending on if Rock doesn't come back, Cena Taker, New Day, Usos, Charlotte and Sasha. That's just related to who he thinks is going to be at Mania. He also likes what they're doing for the Survivor Series. He thinks, you know, with the Wyatt family and Taker, as we've seen. Let me make sure I don't miss anything. At Kevin Cordell, at Cordell Kevin, one of our faithful listeners, he says, I can't remember the last pay-per-view I watched without one run-in, DQ or count-out. It was a solid show with no crazy finishes. Doc, I think you agree with that when we talked about it. You were like, yeah, man, it was just pretty solid.
You know, for the way that we were down on Raw last week and the lead-up into this, I'd say that the show itself more than delivered. I agree with a lot of the comments, as much as I hate to agree with our fans. I agree with it, and I think they follow. I mean, I know we're going to get there, but I think they followed it up with a solid Raw. I don't remember a Monday night where I've seen that much in-ring action as a percentage of the 3 hours I had to watch.
I agree. And moving right along, Chris C. Daly says it was better than most lately and very hard hitting related to the pay-per-view. We got another from Cordell Kevin also said it was a good pay-per-view. He wants to see how everything leads to Survivor Series. I would have to agree with that. Our buddy at Nick Jason Lopez from ProWrestlingOpinion.com, check out his columns. He writes all kind of good articles on pretty much every wrestling show on TV right now. He says Taker and Lesnar and Wyatt family angle. He loved it. He hated uneventful title defenses. I'm assuming he's referring to Rollins and Kane, which wasn't the best, but I'm not going to sit there and say it wasn't. It was terrible. At Charles Durham 72 also says, hated that the New Day went over. This has to be the end of this feud related to the New Day and the Dudleys. The tag division is weak. Usos need to hurry back. I would tend to agree, Charles. I think it's time if they're healed up. I forget which one is injured, but it's time for them to come back. And then at Chase M262, Chase Merriman says, the ending was very Attitude Era-like. I think, look, I don't know if there's something to this. I'll let you tell me, Doc. Did you kind of find it symbolic, like when they're carrying him out, kind of like a cross?
It wouldn't be the first time they've done that.
Right. What I mean is Attitude Era, like, as far as risque.
Well, that in the blood, and, you know, there's reports. Right. And hold on, let me get my – can you hear my dirt sheets?
Jesus. Come on.
There's a –
I'm trying to get along with you tonight. And then you go with the dirt sheet stuff that you look at all day.
That Vince was not happy when the blood started flowing. And, hey, there's a problem right there. Because, I mean, at the same time on Twitter, you had JR coming in with the, hey, this is a great way to, you know, not saying we should have a bloodbath, but what a great way to accentuate the story and the physicality, so to speak. So, I mean, yeah, hopefully it was a kind of a grittier finish than we're used to accurately portray what was going on in the ring.
The blood was fine. Anybody who's...
And I
don't know if I believe the dirt sheet reports that you are telling me about, because I ain't read them.
These dirt sheet reports don't lie. I live by them. I mean, it's half of what I do.
Of course you do. You're an idiot.
You ever seen that movie Beautiful Mind where he's putting up all the newspapers and trying to find the hidden messages in them? That's how my bedroom looks.
I bet it does, and that's sad.
And I like the Wyatt family when they're engaged with somebody who is similarly, you know, I guess you could say spooky, if you will.
I kind of agree with this one listener that says, "Let's just see how it plays out."
Sure.
Like says. I'm gonna move right along, and we can get through them. Again, at Charles Durham 72 says, the ending sucked. Where were the baby faces? This is Hell in a Cell he's talking about. I think he wanted to run in. This makes them all look like some P-words. I'm trying to tame the cursing, especially Reigns, who won earlier. Charles, I can see what you're saying. You want a run in of some sort, kind of in old Mid-South style.
Yeah, Tommy Rogers and everybody comes from the back to help out.
I can see that point, but I was okay also with the way it ended. So with that said, James Lee on Twitter says, love the opening tag. This is what he loved. The opening tag match was a letdown. Owens' match, who usually is best of the night, was short, missed it, ending with Wyatt sadly.
Whoa, did you see the promo that Owens cut beforehand on Magic Johnson outside the arena?
Kevin Owens is the epitome of what a great heel is nowadays. He is. He's got, like you hear JR go, he's got it.
Yeah, he really does.
Your buddy Thog sent me something about
God.
At Thog94, exceeded my expectations. Thought the ending was fantastic, and hopefully now Bray can gain some traction. I'm going to get to Thog, so hold your thoughts on that, Doc.
Why don't you block him on Twitter?
I will not be blocking Thog. Thog is a very intelligent listener of ours who really sends in some good stuff. You just don't like because I called you out last week on something Thog sent us.
Very,
which will
very unprofessional of you, by the way.
No, you're just a jackass. That's what.
Sorry, Big Swole. I know we promised not to do any cursing on your episode.
No, I'm not. We're being tame.
Sorry,
jackass
sponsor.
Is not a bad word. Moving right along, Super Saiyan Saint, my buddy Kyra 16 from the Bayou.
Uh-oh.
Saints fan. Horrible booking and pacing in general seems sloppy and haphazard related to Hell in a Cell. Reigns, Wyatt, and the Divas match were decent, good, that is. I don't totally agree with him about the horrible booking. At the same time, I do agree with him about Reigns and Wyatt in the Divas match. It was decent. There was nothing wrong with that. I would definitely could agree. I just got to give a shout out to Thog again because he told me he walked out when Nikki came out to work for the title.
Here's the thing about Thog.
Oh God.
He doesn't like me, and I'm a smart guy, so I'm going to take it that he doesn't like smart people, and He doesn't like Nikki Bella, and she's hot. So he doesn't like smart people, and he doesn't like hot women. Who's the problem here?
Well, his dislike for Nikki Bella has nothing to do with how she looks. He never said she's an ugly woman. He just doesn't like seeing her wrestle. You're the guy with the PhD. You can't figure that out? I mean, come on, man. Use that brain that you used for school for 50 years. Oh, you didn't like that comment? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
It's not, again, not very professional.
Okay, we're going to move right along because Thog does have something for us coming up. Actually, he's got something for you, not me. He said, here's one for Doc. Since this is booking the territory, I want the resident expert.
That's me.
You know, he's using that light.
That's me.
To book the next legit ROH pay-per-view. Doc, you are tasked with booking the next ROH pay-per-view. Give us the matches and outcomes for all of the guys at ROH who, as you say, wear underwear. This isn't a pop quiz. This is a question, and I totally agree with him here, that you asked for from the listeners, so no bitching, just give answers. And I got to agree with this guy. Thog's right on the money, because last time you asked for ROH questions, he sent them in, and then you shot on him with an attitude talking about, I don't want to answer these questions. I get a pop quiz. Well, it's not a pop quiz if you ask for it.
Okay. First of all, there's a lot of ways to tear this apart, but first of all, Thog, you don't task me with anything.
Oh, he did task
you. Nope.
Oh, he tasked you.
Second of all,
he tasked you.
If we're going to be smart here, and I know it's hard for everyone else involved with this but me, but let's try. If we're going to be smart, what's the actual interrogative statement? Now, I don't expect you to know what that means, so that means what's the actual question? He said book the territory. That's a command. What is the actual question I'm being asked?
Oh, my God. You got to be kidding me. So you're going to play some antics.
Second
now.
Of all, let's just say that I decide to play along here.
Can we get to the point,
this
please?
This pay-per-view is December 18th.
That gives you plenty of time to study, Mr. PhD.
Can you back up just a little bit? Let me finish. That's
okay.
A week from Christmas. It's still October, and while I would hope and expect and would think that ROH has a plan for that pay-per-view already.
God, you're putting me to sleep.
I need to see a little bit more before I'm ready to comment on it.
Okay, that's fair. But, again, you asked for ROH questions because—
That's not a
like
question.
You said, okay, he's— It's not a question, technically, but you're playing semantics at this
Here's
point.
Here's a question.
Hold on. We also say not just questions, submit thoughts and ideas.
He doesn't have any thoughts. That requires thinking.
This is the type of dumb stuff I got to deal with all the time, but go ahead.
No, let's go ahead. I'm done.
Okay, you're done. Anyway, you're going to do this, and we're going to provide this as time goes. So, fans, bookmark this, and we'll get back to this part. Doc is going to book the ROH pay-per-view that's happening in December. Related to Thog also said—
I got the first match, dude. Here's the first match. Curtain jerking match for the ROH pay-per-view. We'll take— that's one of my bitches. Hold on. You hear that in the background? Barking. Now hold on, that got me all flustered. But here's the curtain jerk.
You got a PhD. Why are you getting flustered?
Here's the curtain jerking match at the pay per view. Remember, remember Adam? You remember Adam?
Yeah, Adam actually sent us something.
Super. This is great. This is awesome. We have Adam and Thog in a bra and panties match, and I'm sure that we don't have to go buy many because they already got their own. So there you go.
That's wrong on so many levels. You just like insulting listeners, and it's pissing me off. I got your back. Doc, shut up. This is stupid. I mean, I'm sure you pose in front of the mirror in your bra and panties all the time since you want to talk about the listeners. I bet you got that, you know, most muscular pose down that you practice nonstop because you think you're some type of bodybuilder or Greek god. Anyway,
I'm not a bodybuilder or a Greek god. I'm a bodybuilding Greek god.
You're an intellectual idiot is what you are.
Super genius.
Thog, Hell in a Cell was excellent. Exceeded his expectation. Even if it sucked, the Giants beat the Cowboys, so it was a good day no matter what. It had closure to feuds and opened doors for new ones. Del Rio made his return, which Mike predicted. Yeah, I'll raise my hand. I did predict Del Rio would return. And I'm curious to see how they explain him and Zeb together since they hated each other before his departure. With Roman beating Bray, I believe we saw the first step towards the Roman Empire. His victory was very Cena-esque, down to the chance in the crowd and kicking out of a finisher. Cena 2.0 is here, like it or not. It was a hell of a match and told very well. New Day won, so it's on to another tag team for them. I hope to see the Dudleys win at TLC, maybe in a three-way tag, which would be an appropriate finish. Nikki had an excellent match, but glad she lost. For the record, I don't mind the eye candy, to the point you were trying to make a second ago. He doesn't mind the eye candy. He just can't stand her character. And I like the clean win by Rollins. No BS ending and no more corporate Kane. Unleash the demon. Goodbye, Ryback. No one will miss you. KO is on the better opponents and hopefully Cesaro. Can't say enough about Brock and Taker. Great match with both guys beating the shiznit out of each other. You like what I did there? I didn't really curse. The blood was a nice touch that added to the dramatics of the match. They booked the end of that match perfectly. Really like Bray coming out at the end and kidnapping Taker. I've always liked Bray, and hopefully this will set him up as a legit guy on to Survivor Series. And I like his comment in there about the cow turds, too. We're going to get to that in a minute, so I don't want you to really say anything. All right, so you had some points that you wanted to make about ROH this week, didn't you?
Oh, well, yeah. You want me to run it down match by match, what happened this week?
No, just make your finer points, man. We don't need to go on forever. We got to get the Big Swole in a second.
Oh, yeah, Big Swole. That's a great name, by the way. When I work out I live in a circle, cul-de-sac, if you will, and when I work out there, that's what all the people in my neighborhood call me. ROH. So
yeah.
For all of you who don't get or don't watch Destination America, I would suggest that you do. Tune in, try to find that channel and tune in tomorrow because it's a good episode. Some of us who have the local channels have already seen it. Mike, you and I had a chance to talk about the fact that this week has a match between Moose and Donovan Dijak. And look,
yep.
I ain't going to – look, Thog is buddies or whatever with Dijak, and I got an autographed picture and that – whatever. Those two guys got in the ring and flopped around on each other like nobody's business, flew around like nobody's business. So, you know, as a guy who's taken a flat back bump in his day,
because we know you haven't.
What did you think about watching those two guys with that kind of size put on that kind of match?
I had a buddy named Brian Hart back in the day. Rest in peace, Brian. Brian was one of my best friends in the wrestling business. Brian was maybe an inch or two taller than me, so he's probably about 5'10".
It made him about 5'4", 5'5".
Shut up. And Brian, he got to the point where he was about 350 pounds. But the thing about Brian, I never forget he told me one time. He goes, man, you see all these little guys doing all these flips and stuff, but it really matters when a big guy does it. Now, Brian was wide. He wasn't 6'7", like Dijak. But Brian could do a moonsault, and he was very acrobatic. I mean, if you saw the stuff he did, it was incredible for a guy his size. And he used to always say that. When a guy his size gets up there and does a moonsault or does flips and does these planches and whatnot, he's like, the crowd really goes, ooh. Whereas when a guy like, you know, it's 5'8", you know, 220 does it, it's still got some ooh effect. But when the big guy does it, it's got a lot more ooh, ah to it. So that's my feelings on it. I think when I see a guy that size in what Moose and Dijak did on Saturday's edition down here, it's incredible. Dijak actually tweeted about it earlier, two big guys going at it. You need to watch it. I'm not going to sit there and tell you it was like a technical, you know, Mozart-type match, hole for hole. They were, you know, these, I don't know the term to give it, like a five-star hole for hole match. But these two guys moving around the way they do, it's something to watch, and you need to watch it and enjoy
well,
it.
And
that's ROH, and it doesn't surprise me. So I definitely appreciate two big guys that size going at it. I mean, not only do they go at it kind of clubbing each other, so to say, not in a stiff way, but they just the moves, the crowd can buy into it because it's like, holy crap, man, these are two big dudes flipping around like nobody's business.
And I wouldn't be surprised because these two guys are fairly – both guys are fairly new to the business. If in 4 to 5 years you don't see that same match on Raw.
I know, right?
Man, there was one bump in that match, and I don't want to give it away too much for anybody who's planning to watch it tomorrow night. But
tomorrow night being Wednesday night on Destination America, yeah, since we're recording on Tuesday night.
Well, yeah, thanks.
I'm just clarifying.
Whatever.
You know, you say tomorrow night, and you know everybody's not as intelligent as you. So if they're watching on Thursday, they'll be like, "Ooh, what time's it come on tomorrow?" You know, because we're not all smart. We don't all have, you know, PhDs.
That's true.
We didn't all write a 100-page dissertation.
That's true. Now,
God, your brain must have been mush.
So anyway, Moose.
Turn of thought, huh?
Moose choke slams Dijak outside the ring on the corner of the apron. You ever take a bump on the corner of an apron like that?
Yeah, it don't feel good. Anything on the apron does not feel good.
Yeah, that looked mighty painful. You know, so you had that. I mean, again, there was a good match at the end with the Kingdom and all that. But the other thing that really caught me, as always with ROH, is anytime Lethal's involved. And so Lethal was out doing an interview, and Rod Strong comes out. And once again, we have Lethal get in Roderick Strong's face and just – I guess the question I have for you is, who – WWE, ROH, TNA, Global Force, Hood Slam, PWG, whoever, what guys around today are putting together the total – in your estimation, the total package, more of talking and working and being a good character more than Jay Lethal?
Oh, man, you got me. Jay Lethal's it, man. He can work. He can talk. He can do it all. I don't – that he's gold. I mean, what else? There's no other way to put it. I don't – I mean, if you're asking me who else out there is,
I mean,
like him.
And anybody you would say is going to be at such a rarefied air. I mean, you might say like Seth Rollins or you might – you know, something like that. But who else?
Man, Jay Lethal, I'd be hard-pressed.
Because you might say AJ Styles in the ring, but does he talk better than Lethal?
I don't think so, no.
Right.
Yeah, total – I'm about to say total package. Not a – you know, that's not being disrespectful to Lex Luthor or anything, but Lethal is a total package, man. He's got it all. He's got the in-ring work. He's got the mic work. No, don't put Briscoe. Briscoe, don't put him down.
Yeah.
He's probably right there, too.
Yeah.
Ain't no probably. He is.
So there's a short list of guys who are doing – putting the whole picture together better than most. And you can't tell me – you cannot tell me that Lethal's not at the top of that list or at the very top of that list with just a small
– Yeah, he – no doubt he is at the very top.
So if you still haven't watched this week's ROH, if you hear from Mean Mike Mills, Mild Mike Mills, and I, you should watch it this week. It's good.
Mild Mike Mills. With that said, if you want a very mild insurance rate, you need to give my buddy Jason Smith from Farmers Insurance a call. He works the entire state of Texas, and he can help you out with your insurance needs from auto, home, commercial, life, and health in the state of Texas. Even if you have Farmers, still contact Jason. He will save you a ton of money. You can contact him at 972-834-2516 or email him at jason@goodguyllc.com. And while we're talking about sponsors, also check out my buddy Arturo at TNA's Wrestling Palace, which is located in Traders Village in Dallas-Fort Worth. Go over there. He's got all kind of wrestling memorabilia. Anything you need, give him a call at 469-337-8537 and check him out on Facebook or Twitter. And lastly, you know, Doc tried to poke fun at our buddy Adam a while back related to better choices because he said Adam was one of those people who sat in his mama's garage or basement and decided to send in Twitter questions, well, or Facebook questions. I don't appreciate that, Doc. But anyway, if you're in the market, so to say, for for losing a few pounds or just changing up your lifestyle, give our friends at Better Choices a call. They were co-founded by healthy lifestyle coaching duo Eric and Malika Bill of New Orleans, Louisiana. And when it comes to healthy lifestyle tips, recipes, and meal planning, motivation and support, or personal healthy lifestyle coaching, Better Choices is the vehicle to get you there. I say it all the time. The thing about my friends Eric and Malika, they lost a combined 300 pounds, but they've kept it off for a long time now. And that's one of the biggest challenges, is keeping it off. So make sure you connect with them, www.betterchoicesco or at betterchoicesco on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest. You name it, they're there. Big thanks to all of the show sponsors. And with that said, Doc, I just have a couple of more Facebook posts before we throw it over to myself and Big Swole to close out the show this week. So we won't spend too much time on this because I know it'll hurt your heart. Chip sent me a Facebook message and it said, "How about those sorry ass Cowboys, Doc? Y'all still them boys? Keep making fun of my team, the Steelers, if you'd like. But if I were you, I'd go hide under a rock. Hashtag six rings. Hashtag I'm better than you. Hashtag Doc is stupid." Hey, Chip, I completely agree with that assessment. Doc?
Well, let me see if I can channel this. "That's real classy." Does that sound like Hamburger Helper?
Hey, man, I'm Catholic.
Yeah. Chip, you talk to me when Landry Jones isn't your quarterback. You're getting ready to feel the burn and the pain of having to live through backup quarterbacks. So we'll see where it all ends up, pal.
Yawn. Adam, yes, he says, "Yep, I'm back. But this question is for Mike and Harper." Sorry, Adam. Harper couldn't make it tonight. He's predisposed with Michelle Tafoya. "I refuse to address the disrespectful clown you guys have to deal with every podcast. What were your thoughts on ROH this week? Mike and Harper, keep up the solid work. I really enjoy the interviews and you and Harper's banter." Well, Adam, if you've gotten to this point in the show, you would have heard our thoughts on ROH. Tune in on Destination America this Wednesday, October the 28th, and DVR it, but go online on ROHTV.com or whatever it is and watch it. You will enjoy it if you haven't already seen it. If you've seen it, you already know how good it was.
Instead of watching ROH, why don't you go out in your garage, make sure the door's down, hop in the car, and start the engine, Adam?
You just told that dude to commit suicide. Like, that's real classy. Whatever. Kurt says from Facebook, "I'm getting sick and tired of people bashing the WWE. Hell in a Cell was really a good pay-per-view, and Raw was very good as well. People like Doc that criticize everyone and everything make all of us fans look bad. And yes, Doc, whether you want to realize it or not, you're nothing more than a fan who doesn't know shiznit from shinola. Oh, and Doc, if you don't know what shinola means, it's shoe polish, you intellectual ass clown." that was good stuff. I really appreciate your feedback. Do you want to address Kurt, Doc?
First of all, I know what shinola is, jackass. Second of all, I thought it was a good pay-per-view. I thought Raw was great, so I'm not exactly sure where you're coming from with us. You know what we ought to do? Here's a plug for the sponsors. Before you're allowed to submit a Facebook or Twitter question on this show, you ought to have to go through a consultation session with Better Choices to try to make some better choices with your life. Come on.
The only consultation that should be happening is somebody should have consulted with me before I agreed to let you be a co-host on a podcast. Because they would have figured out that I was actually mentally unstable.
Hey, let me tell all you people, Adam, a minute ago, that that you and Hamburger Helper have to put up with me. I don't have any contracts. I answer the phone when it rings on Tuesday nights when we record. So there ain't no guns being put to nobody's heads.
That son of a bitch ain't ringing either. All right, man, we got to move on so we can get the Big Swole. Hey, real quick, remember to follow us on Twitter at Mike504Saints and at BTT_podcast. Facebook. That's on Facebook.com/BookingTheTerritory. Please be kind and give us a like there. We put all of our weekly episodes there, so you can always find them. Use Facebook and Twitter to submit your weekly show topics, comments about WWE, ROH, and TNA. God, we didn't get one thing from TNA.
I'm cool watching it.
I already know you said that. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Podbean, or Stitcher so you don't miss our weekly shows. And please, please, please tell your friends about the show. It shows, you know, shows like ours only grow through word of mouth. So we don't have Podcast One or one of these other big name companies behind us. So without you, there is no show. Please retweet our episodes and tell your friends about it. That would be of great help. So, Doc, like I was saying in the beginning, you know, I just have to say, I really was appreciative to Big Swole for coming on. I was very, very happy that he was able to do so and was willing to do so. And I'm being reminded by Doc right now, before I forget, just a couple of quick show plugs from an independent wrestling standpoint. Before we get into meat and potatoes with Swole, we've got a couple of independent shows to plug. So Sunday, November 8th is NWA Elite in Homer, where the current NWA world champ Godzilla Jax Dane will be defending his title. That show kicks off at 5 p.m. on November the 8th in East Park Rec Center in Homa. Also got another card, independent card, main event in Ruston, Louisiana, main event being the promotion. That's on November 14th at Louisiana Tech Memorial Gymnasium. Check out main event on Facebook. They put on great shows with great independent talent, such as Big Daddy Yum Yum, Matt Justice, Safari, Daniel T, and we've plugged this one a few times. November 14th is Wildcat Sports' fourth anniversary show in New Orleans at Meisler Middle School. It's stacked with WWE Hall of Famer Ron Simmons, Stevie Ray's Harlem Heat, Hardbody Harper, or also Buku Dao, to name a few, Luke Hawks, 7 p.m. bell time on the 14th. Check it out. It's going to be a loaded show.
Also, I just want to
Revolution Rumble.
Here's an independent event. I'm doing some cardio later this week if y'all want to come by, swing by, and buy a ticket and watch.
Oh, dear God. So, like I was saying before we got rolling on this week's episode, we got Big Swole Randy Thornton, first ever podcast or interview about anything related to wrestling or the No Limit Soldiers. Randy was a really cool cat. I was very gracious enough.
You were gracious enough?
I was gracious of him to give me about an hour and 15 minutes of his time. Randy's a great guy. Randy, if you listen to this, thank you again. I appreciate you coming on, taking some time, telling me about the inner workings of WCW and No Limit Soldiers in the late 90s. And just thanks for coming on, man. I can't say it enough. Minotaurd, my boy Brian Falcon, Minotaur, I appreciate you hooking that up with me and Big Swole. Get me hooked up so that we could you know shoot the stuff and get to know each other over the phone. Doc, you got anything else before I throw it over to the interview with myself and Big Swole or discussion?
Man, I know a lot of you people hate me and I don't really care, but I think I deserve some sympathy. Cause here's why. Look, I don't have a very good owner of my football team, and I don't have a very good general manager, and our coach is terrible. And we have two backup quarterbacks that if you pieced them together into Franken quarterback, still wouldn't make a good quarterback. My best wide receiver's hurt. My running back left for another team.
What does this have to do with pro wrestling?
Nothing. I'm just saying. It's miserable. It's salty right now. And I just need all of my fans out there to think about me this week because we got the Seahawks next Sunday, and that ain't going to go well either. So, you know, hey. It's just a sad time in Doc's world, you know.
Are you done?
I'm done. I'm gonna go join Adam out in the garage with a running car.
I was just making sure. Yep. So, like I said, folks, I appreciate y'all listening to me and Doc banter. Hopefully, Hardbody Harper will be back next week, and he will not still be predisposed taking his dates to Burger King where they can have it their way.
You're gonna see Michelle Tafoya all out of breath next Sunday, all her hair all tussled up on the sidelines.
That's a terrible visual.
Get him, Hardbody. Get him.
Terrible visual. So, hey, without any further ado. Let's throw it over to myself, man, Randy Thornton, a.k.a. Big Swole from the No Limit Soldiers. Hang tight.
All right, Booking the Territory fans, I'm sitting here with someone from back from the Monday Night Wars. He worked for WCW. He was a part of, his name was Big Swole, part of the No Limit Soldiers. This is Mr. Randy Thornton. Randy, what is going on, man?
Oh, man, just being blessed talking to you. Let's have some fun.
I hear you. So now I think this is the first time you've really done a podcast as far as wrestling goes, right?
this is the first interview I've done anywhere worldwide discussing wrestling.
Wow. Okay. So, hey, man, that's why I told you. I said before you even started recording, I was like, I just feel blessed, man, and I really appreciate you coming on, talking to me about everything, and, you know, whatever you want to say, whatever you don't want to say is all good with me. But one of the things I did want to, like, touch was I never forget when I saw back in, I guess it was 98, when y'all came out, 98, 99, I had no idea that you were already or prior to had already spent years in wrestling. So I wanted you to talk about that because I don't know if it was just me or if it was just a common thing that people really just didn't realize, man, this guy's been around. He's paid a bunch of dues. It's not like he just showed up on Nitro one night.
Well, you got to remember one thing, okay? It's a gimmick, okay? And what they wanted me to do was come in as a street thug. They didn't want me to come in as a wrestler. They wanted me to come in as a someone untrained as a professional wrestler. And I started wrestling in 92, and I wrestled for 1 or 2 years in Minnesota. And I wrestled when the old, AWA, with Vern Gagne, was going out of business. And I went to Japan, and I was in Japan for a while. And I stood in Japan, and I worked for New Japan. I worked for a guy by the name of Hashimoto. I know you remember him, Hashimoto. Mm-hmm. And I did that, and I got a phone call to go back and play Canadian football a year later. And I left Japan. I went and played football, and, you know, but, I paid my dues, you know, but my gimmick wasn't a professional wrestler. They wanted me to be a street thug. I was trained by probably I consider one of the best trainers in professional wrestling, and that's, Brad Riggins. And Brad Riggins, you know, he trained the Road Warriors, Demolition Team, you know, Kurt Hennig, and I think the new guy, what's the guy that does MMA? I can't think of it.
You talking
Brock
about Brock?
Lesnar.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he trained,
Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, he trained Brock.
Brock Lesnar was his best person that he ever trained. I just talked to Brett like 4 or 5 months ago, and we talked for a couple hours on the phone. But, I first got started by a guy by the name, everybody remember, Big Cat Ernie Ladd. And he was coaching at Texas Southern at the time. And he the one who got me to go to Minnesota. And so, I've been a wrestling fan all my life, you know, but I thought wrestling be in my blood, but it's not in my blood. I tell people, you know, in my lifetime, the only people get rich and famous in wrestling are the promoters. The wrestlers die broken young, you know, and that's something I didn't want to do. You know, like I say, I know the Nasty Boys and all those guys. I know personally, I was in school. I came after them, and also was with the Baby Bull. What's his name? Leon White. They call him Vic Van Vader.
Leon.
We all went to the same wrestling school. I can wrestle when I want to, but that just wasn't my gimmick. I was just supposed to jump off the streets and get into the ring and wrestle, and that's what I did. But, you know, sometimes I read some stuff, I read some stuff online, and, you know, fans are not too nice, you know. They're not nice.
Yeah.
And, they say some terrible things about me, you know. And, you know, I'm a family man. I'm a Christian man. And, I know that the wrestling fans are kind of rowdy people, you know, but it's like I told this guy in the supermarket one day, you know, that's wrestling, but I will whip your ass in real life.
For real.
I can throw some hands, you know.
Yeah, don't get it twisted.
Matter of fact, I read some other day, and some guys were saying, is Randy Thornton the same Randy Thornton who wrestled in the 25th anniversary for New Japan in Osaka Castle, and I wrestled Hashimoto. And the guy would say, no, that's not him, that's not him. Yes, that was me. I did wrestle on the 25th anniversary for New Japan in Osaka Castle. And, yes, that is swole. That's Randy Thornton. So.
See that's what people. That's what I'm saying. That's what people. I don't think they realize that because I never. I'm telling you. I remember when y'all made y'all debut. I was working the indies at that point, and sure enough, you know, I had been. I don't say. I remember when Master P and all that was real popular, like in like '96. It felt like when y'all came around with that gimmick, it was a little bit after the height that they had reached. In New Orleans, well, I don't want to say New Orleans at that point, but everywhere. And I remember going, I was like, oh, okay. But I didn't know, I didn't realize, I mean, I'm admitting, I didn't even realize at that point that you had done as much as you had done in the business just because of the way they, you know, like you said, the way they presented you. And then come to find out, you know, doing research, I was like, man, this dude, he trading with Brad Rangins. He done been in Japan. I mean, he done been all over the world. You know, he know, like you were saying, Chris Benoit, you knew Chris and, just pretty amazing, you know, like the track record and the experiences you got well before you were a part of the Monday Night Wars with WCW and whatnot. So I found that real amazing. In a nutshell, man, just to tell you, that was good, man. Because I know, and the guys that I've talked to that have been in Japan, they like Dale Wilkes, the Patriot. Yeah. I interviewed him.
Right.
He was He spent plenty of time over there, and he was like, I really liked it. I really, you know, I had a good time.
I love it. The fans are so nice over there, you know, I mean, they get into it real heavy, you know, especially when you're doing mixed martial art wrestling matches like I did, you know, because I'll be honest with you, and I'm not saying it, I'll be honest with you, I think I probably did one of the first mixed martial arts matches with gloves on in the wrestling ring. And that's what with Hashimoto, So, I mean, I'm not saying I'm historical or anything. Like, I don't know if anybody did it. But at that time, they asked me to do it, you know, because they wanted me to go there and show my martial arts skills, you know.
Right.
Just a professional wrestler. And see, people realize in Japan, they go by round, you know, first round, second round, third round, you know. And that's how we did it, you know. And I had a good time, you know. And the thing with the No Limit Soldiers and Big Swole and all that, we were torn, and Conan kept saying that he was about it, right? And
yeah.
And I said, Pete, man, you know, I know some people in the wrestling industry, I can get us in the wrestling industry. So I made some phone calls, and I called Brad. Brad got in touch with me, because, you know, Brad, at one time, he was a head booker for New Japan, for the American Scout. And he got me to go to Atlanta. And I met with probably the nicest man that I've met in my life, and that's, you know, rest in peace, that's Macho Man Randy Savage. And I met with Randy Savage, and we met with Dusty Rhodes, and they signed us. But it was just so hot that we had to get it right there because the hip hop thing was just so hot. I mean, I had no time. I mean, because I ain't wrestled for almost what I want to say 8-9 years, and I just jumped in the ring. I jumped in the ring.
Oh, okay.
And they told me, hey, throw clotheslines and punches. They said, you know, and that's it. You know what I mean? And you got to remember too,
right.
Kurt Henning and I are our best friends. We were personal friends, you know. And so it just
that's
came,
right,
because
you knew Kurt from back in AWA when you had started.
Yeah, I mean,
gotcha.
him and his dad, you know, all of them, you know. And, you know, we trained in Plymouth, Minnesota. And people don't realize, you know, I mean, just me and Bobby Duncan Jr., we knew each other from playing each other in college. Because, you know, Bobby Duncan Jr. was All-American at University of Texas, you know. He played linebacker. So we played against each other. So a lot of these guys I already knew. And, you know, and they asked me who I wanted to pick. And I just personally, you know, Conan and Ray was already in. Then it was me, 4x4, B.A., who, you know, God bless his soul, and Chase, you know, Chase Taylor. And that was it, you know, and we ran with that. And it was going pretty good, but we just had so many haters, you know. People, let me tell you,
Did you?
Guys were so mad have me because of the contract I signed. I signed a real big contract. I'm not going to lie to you. And guys are mad because they found out the contract I signed. And when I traveled, I had in my contract, I traveled first class, you know. And I used to tell guys all the time, hey, man, don't get mad at me because you did not negotiate. I know how to negotiate. Yeah, we're negotiators. So guys were mad about that. And the most player-hating person I met in my life was talking about us, which is, you know, Hulk Hogan. I can't stand him, you know, and I don't care nobody tell him. You know, he was talking behind our backs. And, you know, and people don't realize, when you, if so many people would know these professional wrestlers on a personal basis, they wouldn't even like half of them, I promise you.
No, you hit the nail on here. That's very. I'm glad somebody like you, because I'm glad somebody like you, and not just some indie guy like me who's met a few, you know. Because if I say that, it's like, oh, you know, I'm just. But you actually were there, witnessing it firsthand, and you see people, and you're like, yeah. You, half the people you meet, you're like, okay, this is just. I don't like this guy.
No, let's keep rid of the assholes. I'll be honest with you, they're assholes. I mean, you got to remember, you know, man, we were traveling first class, you know, I mean, a Rapid Crap tour thing was going great. We had, you know, we had people talking behind our backs, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to say the brother's name, but we had some brothers, some black people, that really hated on us, you know, and you could figure out because there wasn't that many blacks in the industry at the time anyway. But, you know, they were talking bad about us that we wasn't no good. And it's not the idea of being good. It's the idea of how many seats you could put in the stands. And we put asses in the seats because everybody liked the No Limit. And then you had the people who was country, you know, who liked the rap. And, you know, so it was just so political. You know, when I walked away, I walked away. You know, you couldn't give me $1 million to wrestle. And I watch that stuff on TV now. I turn it. It's all about sex. There's no wrestling. And I tell anybody, and, you know, what's his name who's supposed to be real popular? The guy who wants to be the white No Limit soldier?
John Cena?
Yeah.
Yeah, Cena.
John Cena. I seen him one time. He said, "Man, I want to be a No Limit soldier." I'm like, "What?" He said, "Man," he said, "the fatigues, the Adidas tennis shoes." He said, "Man, you know, when y'all came out, man, y'all came out raw." It's like he said, "Here you are sitting in the audience, and you just jump in the ring, just start throwing clotheslines and elbows." And I was like, "Hey, man, that's the way we did it."
You know, but you know what's funny though, Randy? Like people don't realize. I thought, I remember when I first heard of No Limit. I mean, in the early '90s, and I mean, because I grew up in New Orleans, so growing up there, as soon as like these stuff hit the, you know, stands, I remember on Q93, we talking before things really went national. And it became all popular. So I found it funny that, like, you know, here it is, 97, 98, when y'all come out with the No Limit Soldiers. I'm like, man, this has been around forever. This is, you know, I mean, not that people were just finding out about it. I'm like, but man, you know, people all getting all like Cena was like, you know, if he saw it at that point, 98, 99, I'm like, man, I remember that in 92, you know, like when he was breaking in with it and it was all popular on Q93 and whatnot. But, yeah, I found that's funny. So,
man, we had a good time.
Yeah,
we had a good time. We had a good time, and people had a good time. And wrestling just not for me, you know. And I see some guys in the independent circuit, and I'm happy for them, you know. And you know, I mean, I was thinking about helping some guys, and you know, they need some help because you know, I was going to some shows and. I've seen, you know, guys do stuff that is wrong, but you don't want to tell nobody, you know, they're doing something wrong, you know, because you got to remember, you know, I trained with the Road Warriors and the Ultimate Warriors, you know, and the Demolition Team. We did, we did big boy things, you know, like walking around the ring and slamming and, you know, all this stuff they're doing now, man, that's too much for me. You know, I can't remember all that stuff, you know, from the script. That's too much stuff to remember.
Me and you know, Brian, who I got to give him a shout out since he hooked us up to do this. Me and Brian were talking about that actually last night. We you know, because he's a big guy, and I was like, man, you know, I watch all these guys doing all this flipping and flying and all this, and I'm like, Jesus, Lord, slow down. I mean, I hate to say that because, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm hating on it, but, you know, you got it all scripted and you got it this and I'm going to do this. I'm like, man, what happened to just, you know, maybe calling one, two things in the back to open them and finish and then going out there and working?
We did that stuff for the little guys. I'm too big, man. I can't be doing all that kind of stuff. That's why we have Rey Mysterio.
Yeah. No, and you know, you got guys that do it. I mean, I'm a short guy. I'm not slim, but I'm short. And
right.
But I just watch some of these guys, and I'm like, good Lord. So yeah, and that's not to take anything from Rey, because Rey is supremely talented. I mean, he just look at what he ended up doing and with his career and whatnot. But yeah, you're right about that. That's why you had somebody like him. He could do all the flips and stuff while. You know, they had you. So that's all you. I was trying to remember. That was the main role you played. Was a bodyguard kind of deal.
That was it. That's all I did. I mean,
I was trying to remember. I thought you did more than that, but I couldn't remember.
Everything I read. You got to remember too. Don't believe what you read online, because half of it is a lie. You know, they're talking about that. You know. I'm Masterpiece cousin and all this, you know, all this kind of stuff. Me and Masterpiece not cousin. We barely friends, you know. So I mean, we went to college together, and we know each other from the hood, you know, and stuff like that. And you know, and they said that, you know, I was pulled a third time in prison, and all kind of crazy stuff. I read so much stuff. I mean, like, you know, oh, he's a deadbeat dad, you know, all that kind of. He got arrested. He got pulled over, and he owed $400,000 in child support. I read stuff and I'll be like, where the hell did I get this shit from? Who's telling these people this stuff?
Right. Where are they concocting these stories?
You know, I read stuff and I'm like, you know, when do mean people become cousins? You know, we're not cousins. You know, I'm not his family. You know, I mean.
So y'all met through, well, you say y'all went to school together, just from back, just being in New Orleans together back in the day. And, like, a lot of people don't realize that. I tell people that ain't from New Orleans. New Orleans is a city, but it's small. Like,
it's small.
If you grow up in a certain, you are interconnected to so many people, you don't even realize it. Like, I met people years later down the line, and I'm like, oh, you know such and such? Oh, yeah, well, I grew up on, you know, such and such street, and his cousin grew up on the street with me, and then before you know it, you're like, oh, yeah, I know. So, yeah, like a lot of people don't realize we're not talking about a city of millions of people. We're talking about
Not the New York, Dallas, or Houston. But see, the biggest thing in all of this is what high school you went to. What high school you went to, or what area you're from, you know?
I'm
from Wahoo, you know. But, you know, but me and
exactly.
You know, we knew each other in high school, and he went to the University of Houston. I went to the University of Houston, and plus his wife, who is the most nicest woman I've met in my life, and I hate what's going on with them. We went to high school together, me and Sonya C. I've been known Sonya since she was 13 years old. So we have a long history, you know. When we was in college, he always wanted to be a rapper. I used to tell him, man, you suck, you know. And he's one of the richest men in music right now, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I haven't talked to him, and I haven't talked to Pete since 19... The last time we talked, we got in an argument on the phone because he tried to tell Dusty Rhodes how to write a wrestling match.
Oh, Lord.
That was a fall off of No Limit in WCW. I'm like, come on, man. How could you tell the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, how to write a wrestling match? You know, come on, man. Are you serious? You know?
Yeah.
And I still remember Ted Turner, they called in the office and told us, hey, you know, Pete Trippin and y'all through. I'm going to pay y'all.
Is that what Is that what ended the whole deal with WCW at that time? Just that?
Master P. Davis.
Wow.
And see, the thing I realized this, and I told P, you got money. You got a lot of money. But we talking about Ted Turner.
Right. You know? Ted Turner. I mean, we talking he got money. Not only does he have money, he's got money on top of money, on top of money, on top of money.
We talking about the man that started cable.
Right.
You know? I mean, the man on Nickelodeon. You know, he owned all the cartoons. You know, how can you know? And that was it. You know, Pete got cocky and arrogant, and he was supposed to show up at some shows, and he didn't show up, and we had to go in the ring by ourselves. And the guy's like, you know, hey, Small, you know, we're gonna pay you out your contract, you know. But I still had to. They still flew me. I did a lot of what they call blackout matches. You know, me and
dog matches.
Me and
yeah,
dog matches.
Yeah,
dog matches.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't televise it, you know. But you know, we had fun, man. You know, it was fun. And that same year, that's when they got brought by WWE or WWF, whatever so they call itself. So I'm not trying to watch wrestling. But that's the same year that they got brought out by them. And you know, the only thing I dislike about wrestling is that people don't see these guys when they're elderly, you know, and these guys can barely walk, you know, they live in a trailer home, you know, and they have no money. Because you got to remember, you know, in wrestling, we don't have no health insurance. We don't have no pension plan. You know, if you hurt, you hurt, you know, and you know, look at B.A., you know, Brad Armstrong, you know, I mean, you know, it wasn't for his wife working shit, you know, I don't think he would have survived. You know, he passed away, and, you know, I mean, I've seen these guys, you know, these superstars in the past, like, you know, Pochop Cash, I seen him 10 years ago at the age of then, he's 60, 70 years old, still wrestling. I'm like, what the hell? Pochop Cash?
So, you know, like when you see, I tell you one of the saddest things I've seen is, you know, seeing Kamala in the condition he's in.
Yeah, that's sad.
You know, that's... And the thing that's sad about that is, you know, he was up there with WWF in this company. I mean, they print money still. And you're thinking to yourself, you're talking about a guy who main evented. I mean, he was up there helping them be what they are now. And now he's struggling, you know, in a wheelchair and struggling to get by there. That's sad, man. That's just,
no legs.
It's just sad.
Yeah. And I
no
mean,
legs.
You listen to his story, you know, he was just as big as Hulk Hogan in his prime, you know, Kamala.
Yeah.
And they paid that brother no money. He didn't make no money.
He's even said that, I think. I was listening to an interview he did. I can't remember who it was with, but he was very, very, very underpaid for what he was up there doing.
He didn't make any money, you know. He wasn't making money, you know. And I'm going to tell you who really hit me to the game. You remember Bad News Brown?
Yeah, I remember him.
Bad News Brown is a brother. He was from, I think, Canada somewhere. And he trained under Brad Hitman Hart, the Hart Foundation. He went to their school with his dad. And, you know, he is the only man that ever made Andre the Giant back down in a real fight. I don't know if you ever heard the story.
No, I never heard that one.
They was in Japan. This was in the heyday. And you got to remember, Bad News Brown was this big black bald head dude, you know. And people don't forget that he was, a silver or bronze medalist in judo in the Olympics. And he was a legit judo master. And they was in Japan touring, and Andre Giant made a racial comment towards him.
Oh, Lord.
And he made the bus driver pull the bus over, and he was about to whip Andre Giant's ass. And he called him out to get off the bus. And Andre Giant was getting off the bus, and all the guys were telling Andre Giant, he said, man, Bad News is going to beat your ass. You know, this guy's a chip. You know, this is not going to wrestling. You know, man, this guy's going to hurt you. And the guys in Japan, when I was over there, you know, they told me about the story, you know, and I had an opportunity to sit down and talk to him, man. And, you know, the guy was like, you know, if you can walk away with your health, your knees, you know, and your sanity, you know. And I walked away. I walked away. You know, I never went back. And, you know, it's just stuff like that. And, you know, I talked to Big Van Vader and, you know,
I saw him. You know, I saw him on Randy. He was on TNA a few months ago.
Are you
like
serious?
He literally worked a match and to see him out there. Yeah, I'm dead serious. He worked a match with Bram that was in TNA and he looked like a shell of himself. I mean, just, you know, he's been doing it for so long, and not only that, but I don't know how old he is at this point. But
well,
you could 57. Tell he just
well, 57.
57. Yeah. Yeah, you could tell just his body is just not – he just can't do it. I mean, his body is taking that beating over the years from wrestling for so long that it's just – he don't have it anymore. And I just to see him go out there, it was like – I was like – I actually got kind of sad. We talked about it on my show that week we recorded. I was talking about it with my co-host that does a show with me. I was like, that was sad to see him like that because – I think of Vader as this monster, just
right
out there. You know, I mean, like Leon was one of the first guys I ever remember seeing that was as agile as he was for his size. Like, he was extremely agile.
Can walk a rope at his size. He could, like the thing with Undertaker does when he walked a rope. You know, Leon was doing that 10, 15 years before Undertaker did that. You know?
Yeah, I mean, just so big. I mean, you know, he'd get up there and do a moonsault or just as big as he was. He was like an agile big man that could just tear it up in there. And I'm like, to see him from that to now at his age, and I mean, man, 57 ain't that old. Like, I think about that sometime. I'm only gonna be 40 next month, and I think to myself, man, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, I don't wanna be to the point where I can't, you know, where I have trouble walking and getting out of bed. And you see so many wrestlers, you know, at 50, 55, 60, can barely walk. And I'm like, that, man, that's depressing, man.
And then you're
guys in that kind of
shape. And the promoters just work you and they work you and they work you and they work you. And the promoters are getting rich. And, you know, I mean, but I tell people this, you chose to get into the business, that's you. You know, I mean,
that's true.
I wish people support more of the independent wrestlers, you know, to go to more wrestling matches and support them.
Me too.
It's an opportunity to get personally close with the local guys, you know, because you got to remember back in the day when I was a little boy, you know, man, we started sneaking to the municipal auditorium, you know, right there off of Orleans and Claiborne. And we we'd go to the St. Bernard Auditorium and, you know, to watch,
hey.
To watch Mr. Wrestler number 2 and, you know, Cowboy Bill Watson, Rick Candy, you know, Ernie Ladd, you know, Poke Chop Cash, that was wrestling to me, you know. Then we had my biggest hero, you know, Junkyard Dog.
I was huge JY. I was a huge JYD fan, and I was a huge Iceman King Falcons fan.
He died broke. He died broke.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
All those cartoons, all those dolls, all those T-shirts. He didn't get the money, you know. Because, yeah, I remember, you know, back when I was a little boy, you know, we had wrestling cartoons, you know, wrestling's like any other thing, you know. You can do what you want to do with it, you know. I mean, people might say, "Oh, I'm bashing wrestling." I'm not bashing wrestling. Wrestling was fun. I had a good time, you know. I had a good time wrestling. Is it for me? No, you know. Is it for somebody like a John Cena or those guys? Yeah, you know. But I tell you one thing, Brock Lesnar showed everybody, you can put your ass in an MMA cage and get your butt whipped. You know, you keep your behind in a wrestling ring where, you know, where you know who's going to win and who's going to lose, you know. And, you know, and, I mean, these guys are making some crazy money. They're making, I mean, Brock Lesnar got a private plane and, you know, John Cena making so much damn money, it's just ridiculous, you know. And then, you know, The Rock, you know, that guy's going to do this forever because he's so good, you know, in movies, you know. But you got the people like Sid Vicious, you know, guys who led the way for us that just, you know,
It's sad. And you know, some of it, I've known plenty enough guys that some of it is it's a little bit of self doing, but at the same time, like when I had Rod Price on my show, who worked for Global and WCCW in their late years, and then he did some time up in ECW. When I had Rod Price on, we were talking about that, how the toll on your body is, you know, so vicious from, you know, the 7 days a week, twice on Sundays. He came through in the territory days. He was saying, you know, you just fall into this endless cycle of, you know, one night you do the pills because, you know, you just got so much pain and you can't go to sleep.
Right.
And then before you know it, you're doing the pills and you're drinking. And he said, you think you got control of it, but then all of a sudden, before you know it, it flip-flops on you and it's got control of you. And then you stuck in the rut at that point. And then you fall into that pattern.
And see one good thing, I never had that problem because I just stayed there long enough. You see?
Yeah.
You know, but every man, we go in the back, man, those guys will pop so much pills and snort so much coke, you know.
All right, BTT Podcast fans, hopefully you enjoyed part one of my discussion with the one and only Big Swole, Mr. Randy Thornton, formerly of the No Limit Soldiers in WCW back during the Monday Night Wars. Hey, Big Randy, I really appreciate you coming on, joining the show, giving me so much of your time. That was just part one of my discussion with him, fans. And you know, like he'll talk about it in part two, but you can connect with him on Facebook. He is under Randy Thornton. You'll probably find him under Big Swole as well. Again, Randy, I really appreciate it. I just want to say thanks again to all the fans who tune in weekly. We tried to switch it up this week. We put our interview and discussion at the end of the show, and Doc and I did our part at the beginning. Remember to follow us on Twitter at Mike504Saints and at BTT_podcast. And also on Facebook.com/Booking the Territory. Give us a like, spread the word, share the page with your friends. We really, really would appreciate it for you to do that. Make sure you submit those Facebook and Twitter questions and topics that you'd like for us to discuss. One thing about our show, as you can see, we like to interact with the fans, even though Doc can be a bit of an ass with his responses. Still, I really appreciate it. And we like the banter and the topics that you send in. Some of them are far-fetched. Some of them are very interesting. It just depends. We really appreciate it from everyone, though. And please subscribe to us on iTunes, Podbean.com, or Stitcher so you don't miss the weekly episodes. And please, please, please tell your friends about the show. It's shows like ours. They grow through word of mouth, and that's pretty much the only way. We don't have Podcast One behind us or Play.it or any of these other large podcast movements. So when you retweet us or you share our episodes and tell your friends about the show, that brings in listeners, and we really appreciate it. Also, I just want to say thanks again to the sponsors of the show, Jason Smith from Farmers Insurance. You can contact him at 972-834-2516. And also Teenage Wrestling Palace. My buddy Arturo over there, the wrestling memorabilia shop in Traders Village in Dallas-Fort Worth. That's at 469-337-8537. They will ship to you. So even if you do not live in the area, give him a call. He can probably say, hey, man, do you have X, Y, and Z? Trust me, he can hook you up and he can get it. Also, thanks to my good friends at Better Choices, which was co-founded by, like I always say, healthy lifestyle coaching duo Eric and Malika Beal, who not only talk the talk, but they walk the walk with their clients. Thanks again, fans, for joining and tuning in to this week's episode of the show. We really appreciate it. For myself, Doc Turner, and Hardbody Harper, who, like we said, was predisposed this week, we will catch you next week. Same time, same place, I'm guessing. And with that week, it'll be part two with my conversation with Big Swole, Mr. Randy Thornton. For Mike, Doc, and Hardbody Harper, you know what we always say before we get out of here? Book it. Show you how I live now, tell me.